Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
The Growing in Grace podcast. Hey, I'm Cap, Mike Kapler. He's the Breeze Man, Joel Breezeke. Glad to have you with us as we continue talking about the good news of the grace of God through Jesus Christ. It's so different than what we grew up with, he and I. It's so different. And much of what you might hear on our friendly little show is possibly going to be almost the opposite of everything you've ever been taught. Joel, continuing along the same lines as what we've been on the last few weeks, probably. I remember, I'm not sure if you were with me on this one. Maybe you had to work or something, but I was teaching a class at church, and it was a small group, and it was related to many of the things that we talk about here on the podcast, but I think, you know, we had like a, I don't know, six-week get-together, and I remember sharing some things. And I got to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul called those stone tablets. You, a couple of programs ago, you referred to the movie, The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of chuckling how it always seems to show up around Easter, of all things.
It's crazy.
And so I pointed out that the tablets of stone from that Mosaic law, Paul referred to them as a ministry of death and condemnation. And a young lady in the class at that time who had gone to, I know the church, but had gone to a denominational church that was what I would refer to as a mixed covenant church. And I'm trying to be nice.
I hear you.
And so she said, it's just one of those things that kind of sticks out in your mind, you know. Even though this was many years ago, she said, and the look on her face of astonishment and bewilderment, she said, I have never, and she's been attending this church for years, she says, I have never heard this before in my life. I had no idea this was in the Bible. Mm. And it's one of those light bulb moments, right, where you start, not that she necessarily just grabbed on to everything that we were communicating at that time, but the door was opening.
Yeah.
There some light was creeping in through the crack in the door, and you could see the look on her face, like, what have I been taught all my life? And why have I not heard this before? I think we've all been there if we've crossed from something like that over to a bridge of grace, if you will. But that's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He referred to the letter as something that would kill, but the Spirit gives life. And that's probably one of the biggest differences between the old and the new covenant. You are our epistle, he said. You are our epistle. You know, what do we refer to these letters in the New Testament as? We refer to them as epistles, a lot of times. Sounds like a religious word to me, but these letters that Paul, Peter, John, whoever wrote that are in the New Testament, often referred to as epistles. He's saying the letter kills. That letter that he's talking about can be referred to as an epistle, not just the law. And so you are our epistle in Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the flesh, that is, of the heart. And then he goes on. I'm going to jump down a few verses here. Well, he does say in verse 6, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Don't want to be misunderstood here. And then he says this, if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? See the contrast between the ministry of law and the ministry of the Spirit. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory once upon a time, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious back then has no glory any longer. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. So the Spirit excels and exceeds the glory that the law once had, which has no glory any longer. And so nobody follows that law anymore. No church really advocates for that law anymore. They advocate for bits and pieces of it, very small amounts, and they just create their own modernized version of law and works, which is opposed to faith and Spirit. I got to get you in here, Joel. Come on.
Well, I like what you're saying. I mean, you could go on for another 20, 30, 40 minutes if you wanted to. I know people would like it. I know people would like it. But what you're saying is huge. And it is something that, I mean, sometimes it really only takes a spark to start a fire, you know. And sometimes that little spark, something that somebody has just never heard before, and they didn't even realize that it was there, and it makes all the difference. When you see that, when a person understands that the ministry of death that was written and engraved on stones, for some people, maybe they've read it, but they didn't know what that meant. The ministry of death, written and engraved on stones. I don't get that. It doesn't make any sense. I've always been taught that the law was good and blah, blah, blah. Or, in your case, you were talking about someone who says, in all my life, you know, I've never heard that before. And sometimes that's all it takes, is just that little spark. And then, you know, like you said, it's not as if the person just grasped everything at once, but it can be that little spark that helps to begin a transformation in thinking and understanding. And it's huge when a person sees the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. When a person sees the difference between a covenant of law and works, that's what the old covenant was. That's what the law was. It was people trying to relate to God through law. And the new covenant is not anything like that. I think you made the comment last week that the new covenant is not like a tack on, an add-on to the old covenant. It's completely new and different. The old was done away with, and now we're in the new. It's a new and living way. The old way was the ministry of death, and it was not something that could ever give life. And now what we have in Christ is a new and living way. That's what the book of Hebrews says. And so you have life in Christ, and there was no life. In fact, through the law, there was only death. And like you say, people today, they're not even really, I mean, most people, if you ask them to name 20 of the 613 commandments, they probably couldn't do that. But either way, what the church has done is kind of made a watered-down version of law, picking and choosing which laws. You know, I had mentioned a pastor who did a series on, you know, did a four-week series on grace, and then he followed that with a 10-week series on the law. And what he did each week was, with each commandment, each of the 10 commandments, he would kind of give a Christianized version of it and try to relate it to our daily life in Christ. And that's not the purpose of the law. That's not why the law was given. It wasn't given for that, which we've talked about that. And so you can't do that with the law. You're not supposed to do that with the law, but yet people do that anyway. And again, it's because of this lack of understanding that the law was not given for that reason. The old covenant was not given as a way to help people to live right. It was given as the ministry of death, as the ministry of condemnation. Paul says elsewhere that the law is the strength, or some versions say the power, of sin. I mean, how many people have heard that in their life in the church? How many churches teach that the law is the strength of sin? The law gives sin power. I mean, where do you ever hear that? You don't, for the most part. because churches are busy teaching people the law, and again, watered-down versions of law and works in order to try to get people to live right. I think a lot of the church is all about behavior and performance and thinking that the reason Jesus came was to make people live right and to live better. And there's nothing wrong with living right and living better. There's nothing wrong with, you know, a change in behavior, but that's not the gospel. That's not why Jesus came. He came to give dead people life, not to make bad people good. And so that's a big thing that we could get into that too. You mentioned the tree a week ago, and I think before that too, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that was the problem, the knowledge of both good and evil. That's why the fall came. They were chasing after the knowledge of good and evil instead of just simply knowing God. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to give us life so that we could know God apart from any knowledge of good and evil and apart from our works.
That's a powerful statement. Knowing good and evil versus just simply knowing God. Take that in for a minute. And I think the other thing too, Joel, with this young lady in the Bible class, not only had she not heard that about the ministry of death and condemnation from the stone tablet ministry, but she was being encouraged, as a lot of church people are, encouraged to follow and try to live by that ministry of death and condemnation that could not bring right standing with God. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of a double whammy right there, because as you said, it was those stone tablets within that old covenant ministry that strengthened sin and caused it to increase. It was mentioned here during our little talks here recently that a lot of people think that the law was given to reduce sin when it increased sin. And no matter whether it's a modernized version of it or whatever, it puts people in a sin consciousness and leaves them feeling like they're falling short, which they are from the works perspective. You know, and it has to be mentioned again, as we've mentioned so many times, and I'm sorry we have to do this for you regular listeners out there, but we're not saying go out and murder somebody. We're not saying go out and steal or covet or whatever. We're not saying that. We're saying that the love of God and a renewed heart will bring us to a place where God can live and work in and through us and avoid that stuff that you mentioned, Joel, that living in a good and godly fashion is a positive thing. But that ministry of demand and command, it required that you actually do it.
Right.
And without failing. And that just doesn't work. And so, you know, with that, I mean, you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, his testimony was not, I used to murder people, and now I don't murder anymore. I mean, if you're going to the gates of heaven, you leave the bonds of this earth, you're going up to the gate of heaven. We know Peter, based on all the jokes I've ever heard, Peter is on a 24-hour shift there, right? At the gate, waiting
welcoming
for you.
Welcoming people in.
What are you going to say when he says, all right, what's the password? Are you going to say, well, I didn't kill anyone. I mean, we have a much greater testimony, and it revolves around the person of Jesus Christ. His testimony has become our testimony.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And speaking of Paul's testimony regarding the law, I mean, think about this. We know that Paul was a Jew, and he lived his life under the law, his entire life up to knowing Christ. And here's what Paul's testimony was. Like you said, he didn't say, I used to do all this bad stuff, and now I do all this good stuff. Here's what he said in Galatians 2:19. He says, for through the law I died to the law, that I might live to God. I mean, there's one to let soak in. If you've been under the impression that the law was something that you're supposed to live for or that's going to help you live, Paul said, I died to the law so that I could live to God. That's huge right there. That's big. And he said a similar thing in Romans 7. Therefore, my brethren, and talking in this case, in Romans 7:1, he says, "Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law." So he's speaking to his fellow Jews. "Do you not know, brethren?" He says, "Therefore, my brethren, my fellow Jewish people, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God." There's a mouthful there, but it's making the same point that it was by becoming dead to the law. Those who were under the law had to become dead to it so that they could be married to Christ, so that they could be joined to Christ, to him who was raised from the dead, and to bear fruit to God. People think that bearing fruit, you know, if you just follow the law, then you'll bear some fruit. Paul says exactly the opposite. It's through being dead to the law that these people would bear fruit to God. It was by him being dead to the law that he would live unto God. And he talks, again, in Romans 7, there's all kinds of stuff to bring out there. The sinful passions that were aroused by the law, working in their members to bear fruit to death. So it was, you know, the law and them trying to follow the law, that's what bore fruit to death, but it was by them dying to the law, being dead to it, that they could be joined to Christ and bear fruit to God. So there, you know, I hope that people can understand through all of this that, again, the law is not of faith. And you can't live by faith and live by what is not of faith. It just doesn't work. And so the encouragement here is, again, yeah, we're not saying go out and do all these evil things, but rather that by realizing that your life is not a law life, it's a faith life, that is how we live unto God and bear good fruit. And also, it's not by being a disciple or identifying as a disciple. Now, there's a big word used in the church a lot. Disciple, discipleship, identifying as a disciple. Well, we'll spend a week or two at least coming up on the Growing in Grace podcast talking about why you can't be identified as a disciple of Jesus. Oh yeah, we're going there. Something to listen for in the weeks to come on Growing in Grace.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.